Hi, I'm Daniel, founder of Pretty Litter. Did you know cats tend to hide symptoms of sickness and pain? I learned this the hard way after losing my cat, Gingy. So I created Pretty Litter, a health monitoring litter that helps detect early signs of illness by changing colors, saving you money and potentially your cat's life. Pretty Litter is veterinarian developed, and it's the easiest way to keep tabs on your fur baby's health right at home.
Go to prettylitter.com and use code ACAST for 20% off your first order and a free cat toy. Terms and conditions apply. See site for details.
So good evening and welcome to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview. My name is Louis Mendez and joining me on the pod this week to look ahead to Saturday's trip to the County Ground to take on Swindon Town are first up Mr. Lewis Cat. Lewis, Merry Christmas to you. How are you?
Merry Christmas, mate. Yeah, good. How are you?
Yeah, I'm good, fine. That's the reason I'm saying Merry Christmas is I've just finished my day job for the rest of the year now, so I'm in a very good mood. So,
Me too, mate. Me too. I'm off now for Christmas as well. So
I'm feeling
lovely stuff.
Christmassy AF. And also joining us on the pod, it's almost like a glorious return, someone who's actually finally found access to some Wi-Fi. It's Nath Muller. How you doing, Nath?
Not bad. I thought I was going to be like the story of Andy Delort, where he never just turns up. But, you know, I'm here. I've got Wi-Fi. I still ain't going to have it at home until end of January. But, you know, I thought I'd come in the office and then speak to you boys. And I'll ring Tom later just to make sure he don't feel left out.
It must be weird for the listeners to imagine Nathan with an actual job, like in an office.
Savage.
But yeah, no, there we go. He's in an actual office and they haven't kicked him out. Security haven't come past yet. So really pleased to have Nathan on the pod this week as well. So as I said, we're going to be looking ahead to that game with Swindon Town. We're of course going to hear from Mr. Lee Bowyer, the Addicts boss. Had his press day today. Plenty of stuff to talk about, including that very frustrating postponement of the game against Bristol Rovers in midweek. So we'll have a chat a bit about that, a bit about transfer window coming up. Then we're going to hear from Ben Wills, a freelance journalist who covers Swindon Town ahead of our trip there, and then Bo will preview the game himself. So first of all, I think we should drive straight into some Lee Bowyer audio. Of course, now on Tuesday everyone was looking forward to what would have been our last game with fans in again for a little while, obviously with London being turned into a tier 3 location once more. So everyone was buzzing just to get one more night out there at the football. But unfortunately, it wasn't to be. Bristol Rovers had a little outbreak of COVID within their squad. And unfortunately, the game couldn't be happened. So Bo was asked today how disappointing it was that the Addicts weren't able to take advantage of some of the slips that happened elsewhere in midweek and climb into that top two.
Yeah, disappointing, obviously, because preparation was good. Coming off the back of a good result, I think the players were in a good place and ready to go. So obviously disappointing.
I mean, if there are any pluses, I'm guessing it's players that wouldn't necessarily have been available for the week's game. The midweek game might be available for when it's rescheduled.
Yeah. There's you can always try and find a positive in anything can. Obviously, we should have more players back for when the game's rearranged. So you can look at it that way. But obviously, if we'd have won on Tuesday, we'd have gone second. So that now we'll have to wait until a later date, you know. But it's always good to get the points on the board instead of just piling up games and having games in hand. So like I said, it's disappointing because if we'd have won and we was in a good place and ready, we'd have gone into second place. So, but yeah, we'll have more players back by the time we play.
Well, it sort of leads me on to the next question, actually, Lee. I mean, we're seventh with 4 points off top spot with games in hand. But given the nature of the season already, as it's condensed anyway, are those games in hand a benefit or coming towards the end of the season more of a hindrance?
Well, it depends where they put them, where they put their games, you know. We could have maybe two tough Saturdays and then they just throw it in the middle of that, which we wouldn't want. Obviously these are things that we can't control. This is down to the DFL and what they decide to do with the game. So, I'd have much rather have played Tuesday and and moved on, but it's not the case. So we just have to crack on, as they say.
Yeah. I mean, I'm looking at the division, and it's we knew it was going to be a crazy season, but only four sides in the division so far are four games. I've got a four game unbeaten run going. Two are on a three game unbeaten run, and only one is currently in the top 10. That's Doncaster. I mean, the most successful side in the last five games is four from bottom. Do you see that continuing through the rest of the season? This sort of crazy results.
Yeah, you look at Tuesday's results. No one would have predicted them, Terry. It's not just our division; it's all the divisions. The Premier League's the same. Like, you just can't predict football. That's why we all love football. But in our division, like I said earlier on in the week, that any team can beat any team because every team's got players that can hurt you, whether it's from open play, whether it's from set pieces, you know, like that. It's all part of the game. So every game's tough. We just played Wimbledon the other day, got a good result against them, and then they went up to Sunderland and got a good point, you know. So, yeah, it's all the games. Shrewsbury, obviously, we came away from there disappointed the other night. Conceding so late on, and then they went and got a good result on Tuesday as well. So that, again, since they've played us, I think they've gone on a good little run, and all the teams that you wouldn't expect. Accrington and Stanley's just chugging along behind everyone with games in hand, and they're in a good place, you know. Another team that you wouldn't expect to be maybe pushing up the top end. So there's some good teams out there that people don't recognise, I think.
Well, Shrewsbury was the team that I mentioned, fourth from bottom, but they're unbeaten in five games. They're probably the form side of the division, which makes our point look a little bit better.
Yeah. It was a good point. It's never easy going there. Obviously, since I've been in charge, I think we've been there two or three times now, and only won once. So it's a tough place. There ain't no easy games, Terry. I wish there was.
Lebo, you're there speaking to Terry during today's press day. So, yeah, so frustrating, wasn't it, Nath, that, you know, after that win against AFC Wimbledon on the weekend, you just want to go out there and just express yourselves and build with that momentum. And, you know, before we even come on to the fans, I mean, that's a shame that the team couldn't go out and sort of pick up where they left off against Wimbledon over the weekend.
Yeah, I think in a usual season, you'd have, it'll be, you know, we've lost the momentum. It's such, you know, going 2-1 down and then pulling it back, magnificent momentum, and then obviously Johnny scoring. But also the other side of it is it means it's another game further down the road. And I mean, a lot of the time you can go, oh, we can have game in hand. But just because you have a game in hand, it doesn't mean that you're necessarily going to win those. I mean, look at Sunderland last year. I think they, in this league, they had loads of games in hand, and then they just felt the pressure and couldn't deliver on it. So I would have rather have played it. I think everyone would rather have played it, especially when in lockdown it was the last game we would see for God knows how long. But disappointing. But I mean, we're going to have to win that game, and it's going to put more pressure on us further down the line. But yeah, it's a shame that we couldn't carry on, because I think the first half on Saturday wasn't good. It wasn't. I was seething at the end, and what a way to come round. And it is a shame that we couldn't just pick up where we left off, because I thought it would have been a good game, because Bristol Rovers ain't, you know, they're not no slouches, and I thought it would have been a good game. Disappointing, but it, as in the famous words of Bo says, it is what it is. You just deal with it, get on with it, and we just got to focus on the next game, which is obviously Saturday.
Yeah, I actually thought when that announcement came through on Tuesday, Lewis, we've probably got, well, it feels like we've got off a little bit lightly this season, because some teams have had quite a few games called off because of the coronavirus and the challenges that pose. But it's just a reminder, really, isn't it, to everyone what sort of a strange world we're living in at the moment, and plans can have to change at the drop of a hat. And that does make things more difficult for Bo, because he would have done a full, you know, prep for that game. He would have done full training sessions. The players would have been buzzing to go for it. And all of a sudden, things changed within, what, it must have been 7 or 8 hours before kickoff.
Yeah, it's a real shame. And as you say, the times we live in at the moment, these things do change at the drop of a hat. And I think sport as a whole, it's been fairly sort of undisturbed, if you like. this season. We've got away, as you say, sort of fairly lightly in the whole COVID situation. We've obviously had a few cases within the camp with Chucks and Dylan Levitt, but in terms of like larger scale outbreaks, we've been quite good, you know, touch wood and keeping everything crossed that it stays that way. And yeah, it's tough because, as Nate said there, like the momentum we'd have taken from that game on Saturday, you know, to fight back from 2-1 down, show that second half performance to win 5-2, the lads would have been buzzing to go and would have fancied themselves against Bristol Rovers on Tuesday night, especially in front of fans for the last time for a little while. We don't really know how long it's going to last, but I think it was a really good atmosphere on Saturday as well. So it's a real shame that we've been plunged into Tier 3. I mean, I've been in it anyway, so I'm used to it now. But, you know, everyone in London that was able to go to the games, it's a real shame that stopped so quickly. But yeah, you know, as Nave said, with the slip-ups midweek as well, it does put that extra pressure on because it's out of your control a little bit when you're playing at the same time. You haven't really got your eye on the results, but now knowing that there were those slip-ups and we know that we've probably made up a little bit of ground if we get that result against Bristol Rovers whenever that fixture's played, it probably does add that little bit of extra pressure. So we just need to learn to cope with that and try and take advantage of the games in hand that we do have over the chasing pack and the people we're trying to catch, and hopefully try and get ourselves closer to that top two.
I mean, the explanation of the rules surrounding postponements and that is still quite confusing, isn't it, Nath? Because we saw, I mean, we don't know for certain, but apparently Thomas Sandgaard sort of mentioned that Bristol Rovers only had a couple of players out and the entire game gets called off. Mm. Sunderland had something like 8 first teamers out and they went on and played AFC Wimbledon during the week, unable to beat them, unlike us. You know, although obviously they did have 8 players out, but you know, it does make it slightly confusing. I guess if Bristol Rovers had all travelled as a squad or something, that might have had a bearing on what happened. But it would be nice to see a little bit more transparency as to how these rules work, etc. Because I mean, Lee Johnson, the Sunderland manager, was absolutely baffled that his side had to go ahead and play on Tuesday evening.
Yeah, I mean, it obviously doesn't help with the clarity, but I think with the whole of coronavirus, I think the whole of society is lacking in clarity, which, you know, it's hard at the moment. I mean, you look at, you know, furlough gets extended. So look at businesses, you could go down that way. It's lacking clarity there because, you know, pubs are open one day and then 2 days later they're closing and then all the stock's gone or they've got to throw it away. And football's no different. There's not really strict rules. And at the end of the day, if they feel that there's any, you know, safety issues, if that's what you want to call it, or health risks to anyone, then they have to call it off. But it is a bit weird how ours was. So I can only imagine it's that Bristol probably knew well in advance, or I don't know, maybe one of their players showed, you know, bad signs of COVID maybe, and then they said, well, you know, we'll stop that. And Sunderland had to go ahead. I don't know. I mean, but in terms of the Sunderland thing, I mean, I said on the group the other day, they said 8 players are out, but of the 10 that played on Tuesday against Wimbledon, 6 of them started the previous game and 4 come off the bench. The only player that wasn't was Aidan O'Brien. And the only, you know, granted Willis and I think it was Gooch on the bench for Sunderland had, you know, they are first teamers, but they haven't played many games. So their bench was a bit weak, but I mean, come on, like, look at us in a few years ago. I remember Southend away, we only had like 3, but I don't think they could start saying about 8 first teamers. I think it was just a bit of excuse really. But I just think you're going to lack clarity because not a lot of people know. It changes, it evolves, you know, everything changes every single day. And I don't think you can they can sit there and write rules till the cows come home in terms of COVID, but it just evolves. Situations change. Not everyone gets the results at the same time. For all we know, they could have had the tests come back, like, just when they was on the way to the game. I don't know, but I don't know how they can make it more clearer. Obviously, that's what we all want, but without knowing the full details, obviously, I can't really sort of disagree with the EFL at the moment because I don't know the full details. All it is, well, Charlton did, but Sunderland had to play. So without the full details, I don't know what I mean.
Yeah, I'll come back to you, Nath, actually, as well with this question, just because Lewis was unfortunately already in the situation where he couldn't go. But, I mean, that was a big blow. The last, you know, we were all sort of counting our lucky stars that we were the first game in London after the Tier 2 restrictions came in following the previous lockdown. Yeah. And now we're you know, we were set to be one of the last games in London on the Tuesday before it started at midnight again. So, I mean, that does feel like a big loss. I mean, I'm lucky enough to still get to go, but even I you know, the day of the MK Dons game, I woke up feeling like it was Christmas Eve. I was so excited to see the fans back. But, you know, everyone's had that joy taken away from them. That's another kick in the teeth, isn't it, after this year?
Yeah, of course. I mean, same as you. I mean, for MK Dons, I woke up feeling like it was Christmas, and by the time the game finished, I thought it was Halloween. But it got better, obviously, the Wimbledon game. Well, saying that, it started all right, and then the last bit, I was like, what's happening here? But yeah, it got better. But it was nice for, you know, people to, like you're saying, just to go and see a game. It was just a bit surreal at first because I can't believe how long it was been, and it got, in a weird way, you started getting used to it, watching it all on telly with the fake noises and all that jazz. But yeah, it's a bit gutting really, but listen, we know we've got, it's frustrating. I feel for people that didn't manage to get to any of the two games. Of course I do, but at the end of the day, we know that, you know, health is the most important thing. Football is just a game that we all love, but I can't see it being too long until everyone's back in there a lot more than they are now. But it was a nice experience whilst it lasted, bearing in mind that, you know, it was only two games, but yeah. You know, it is what it is, and we've just got to focus on the bigger things, haven't we?
Two more than a lot of clubs have had, I guess. So, like, so we have to count our lucky side. It's so frustrating though that it's proven that I think you can get in and out of the Valley 2000, probably even do more, and it's you can make it safe. And yet, I guess, you know, in these times that we live in, it's not easy for the people who have to make these decisions. Lewis, I mean, talking about Bo mentioned it in that little clip, having games in hand, and sometimes it can be seen as a good thing. And to be fair, considering the way this season has sort of been set up, it is kind of top heavy, if that makes sense. I do feel like there's a lot more Tuesday night games in the first half of the season. I don't know if I've imagined that, but I do feel like there's been quite a lot, especially considering we've had the Pizza Cup as well. I mean, looking at the second half of the season, there doesn't appear to be quite as many. So you'd probably rather space out the season the way it has. I'm guessing they've done that just in case we do get these situations where there's a lot of games that still need to be played come the end of the season. There's a little bit of room to manoeuvre in the schedule still.
Yeah, I think it's, like you say, it has been sort of incredibly congested, isn't it? And apart from the international breaks where, you know, some clubs, not us because of the players we have, but some clubs have had to play through that. So they haven't even had a break in those instances. With us now, we're out of those competitions, you know, the FA Cup, League Cup and the Pizza Trophy. We can just focus on the league. And although it is a shame that it was called off Tuesday, I think more from the supporter side and obviously player momentum side, it may give us that little bit of a break, you know, because obviously we're approaching that, you know, the congested fixture list that we get at Christmas. You know, we've got what five games between now and New Year, maybe four games between now and the New Year. So it this time of year always is sort of the most congested. So taking the Bristol Rovers game out of it, maybe it does give the players, you know, that little bit more rest after the Wimbledon game to go into Swindon. Then they've got another week off before they play Plymouth on Boxing Day. So it could be seen as a positive in that way. But I do think that it would have been nice to keep that momentum going. And I think I'd have been confident of us getting a result on Tuesday, especially with the fans in there as well. They would have given it some, you know, knowing that they weren't going to be able to go back for however long. But, you know, we are where we are with it. I do think that it doesn't work as much of an advantage because I think the pressure's there. I think if you're playing the same amount of games, you kind of look at it and you can't control what's going on around you. But when you know the outcomes of games and you're looking at the likes of, you know, Haaland, Lincoln and people like that have maybe got the game in hand, or maybe some other clubs like Peterborough have got the two in hand, you are thinking, well, if we win those, we'll be this far ahead of them and this far ahead of them, rather than, you know, you can't really control it when everyone's playing at the same time. And it does put that additional pressure on. But like I say, we are where we are with it and we'll deal with it as it comes. But I don't know when the Bristol Rovers game will get rescheduled. I imagine it'd be the other side of Christmas, but just because of that congested fixture list. But the way it looks at the moment, I think it could be a bit of a blessing in disguise. It would give us time to have the two, you know, the next two games with a week between each of them. Then you've got a midweek fixture away to Peterborough, and then you're travelling away to Hull. So maybe a little bit of rest ahead of the coming weeks, and that congested fixture period might do us a little bit of good.
Yeah, Nate, there was some bizarre results, wasn't there, in midweek, seeing Shrewsbury going to get a win away from home again. You know, they're beating what were the top two. Hull losing at Blackpool. You know, talk about Sunderland being held by FC Wimbledon if you want. Pompey being held by Fleetwood. Ipswich actually winning a game is quite remarkable in this day and age as well. So, you know, and it's crazy to see us sitting down in seventh in the league table, you know, because 2 points and we'd be second, you know. If we win Saturday and no one else does, we go second. Obviously, other teams are going to, but it's up for grabs, isn't it? It's very tight in that top six. We're only 4 points behind Hull. There's 1, 2, 3, 4, 5. Is that four teams on 32 points? Us and Doncaster both on 30. Accrington just behind us on 29. You can see why Sky have picked that game in January for TV as well. It's this league is tight, and this league now we're seeing more and more of these odd results as the congested fixture list starts to catch up with everyone.
Yeah, it gets tighter, I think, in any normal season. One thing that you might hear a lot is it's difficult, especially with the teams up at the sort of higher ends of the table. It's harder to keep that or maintain that level of ability, that level of momentum, that level of performance. And if that's what it's like in a normal sort of season where it's less congested, I think this season it's going to be even tougher to maintain, you know, that level and that consistency. And I think that probably plays into the fact of all the random results which we've seen, and I think it will continue to see. I mean, even if you look at us, we were flying, and then we were just all of a sudden we were poor against MK, and just seemed like we couldn't hit a barn door with a banjo. But I think I think you're going to get ebbs and flows throughout the season. I mean, obviously for us, it's a good thing, because obviously we're chasing the likes of the Hulls and the Peterboroughs. And it's going to be harder for them to maintain that. But I think you're going to see it all year, mate, to be honest. But it's just whoever really tries to reduce the Jekyll and Hyde performances, and who can try and keep the most consistent level as possible, is where you're going to be. But, I mean, God knows what it's going to be like when it comes to playoffs, because you could see someone third who's flying, and then all of a sudden they'll turn up for playoffs and they'll get spanked 5-0. You never know. But I just think that's why I try not to get too sort of down. I mean, obviously MK, I was really angry, but when you think about it, it's like, it's hard for the lads, you know. It's a lot harder than it is usually. And we just got to try and make sure that we have better performances than worse ones, which sounds pretty simple when you say it like that. But I mean, that's the key of it, really.
Yeah, I do wonder if anyone ever has actually hit a cow's ass with a banjo knife. I don't know if, you know, because obviously you've been away for a few weeks. Is that what you've been up to, really? Like, keeping yourself busy?
Oh, I was going to say something then, but I don't know if it's ready for radio.
Ah, go on. I can edit it out if I need to.
No, I just think, I was going to say, it doesn't have to be a cow or about a cow. Was it a cow with a banjo or something?
It's a cow's ass with a banjo.
I was going to say it could be any animal. A barn door? Yeah, because I was being polite. I'm a polite man.
Well, not when you're out smacking cows up the arse with a banjo, but we right, I think we should have a quick break here before Nathan gets his banjo string out, and we'll go to a break. When we come back, we shall talk about the transfer window.
This is Paige, the co-host of Giggly Squad, and I want to tell you about a company that I've been loving, Olive and June. Olive and June gives you everything that you need for a salon quality manicure in one box. And if you break it down, it really comes out to $2 a manicure, which is absolutely insane. It's also so easy to get salon-worthy nails at home with Olive and June. The difference between how your nails used to look when you did them yourself and now with the Manny system is a complete game changer. The best thing about Olive and June, too, is it's a quick dry. It dries in about 1 minute, lasts for 5 days, and full coverage in up to 1 to 2 coats. Visit oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system. That's oliveandjune.com/perfectmanny20 for 20% off your first system.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/news ad free. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Charlton Live.
Welcome back to Charlton Live. Apologies to anyone who I whamageddoned there. I didn't even know that was a thing until we put the wham jingle on the last show. But apparently that's a thing. Dave Berry, the DJ and obviously a famous Charlton fan, tweeted us about it. Apparently people are trying to go as far as they can into December without hearing that song by Wham. But because I put it on the pod now, if you've heard it, apparently you have to donate to Great Ormond Street Hospital. So it sounds like a good little game that Dave set up there. So apologies to anyone who's lost, but it's all in the name of fun. And if you're listening, Dave, hope you've raised a few more quid there. So I thought it was interesting actually now... Lewis, you would have seen from the tweet from Richard Corley during the week that showed a picture of the FC Midtjylland striker. Ronnie Schwartz was at the Valley for the game against AFC Wimbledon, a player we've been linked with in January. It sounds like a move that could have happened if we weren't basically unable to make transfers at the time, and it basically never came through. But it apparently friendly with Thomas Sandgaard and seen in the crowd. We don't know a great deal about him. He's had a good goal scoring record at his old team, which is Silkeborg, who I've never heard of, to be fair. Midtjylland I've heard of as well in league games this season. He's got 6 goals in 15 games, so half decent return there. He's been playing obviously European football with the side as well. We'll hear from Bayer in a minute what his plans are for the transfer window. But Lewis, is another striker one of your sort of priorities for the upcoming window?
It's a difficult one, really. I mean, I like the idea of him coming in originally, but at that time, I think we hadn't even signed Paul Smith or Omar Bogle at that stage. Obviously, when you look at the striking options, you've had Chucks is performing very well, but his only weakness is he doesn't seem to be able to last a whole game. Like, we're using him to... You know, his main capability, which is either coming on as a bit of a super sub or he's starting a game and maybe lasting sort of 60 minutes. Smith's out at the moment, but can play out wide as well. He's impressed me when he's played. Connor Washington's having a great season, isn't he? You know, he's got a decent amount of goals so far. His hold-up play is good. Again, can play out wide if needed. And then Omar Bogle maybe is not the most disappointing, but hasn't done as much as the others. I mean, he's getting better on the ball, I think. I mean, some of the play that, you know, he's more of like a hold up player. He does bring the likes of Washington and that into play, but ultimately as a striker, you want to see him scoring goals, and he's got that one goal so far. And, you know, arguably we probably expected a bit of a better turnaround from him. So I don't see it as a negative at all. I mean, I think that, you know, we've had a couple of murmurs on Twitter over the last few weeks, mainly after some disappointing results where we've been crying out for like a number nine sort of striker. I haven't really seen a huge amount of Ronnie Schwartz to sort of stamp on whether he is that, but his goal return's fairly, you know, it's fairly decent at the level he plays. Where he is at the moment, Michelin, they're obviously playing in the Champions League. I don't know if he's featured for them this season, because I know that there was speculation with us at the start of the season as well. But his turnover in the other games, you know, his goal ratio is pretty good. So I don't see. I think he'd be a good addition if he does come in. The only concern is maybe the history of players coming in from previous owners with the whole network that we had with Roland.
Yeah, I mean that's exactly the point I was thinking. Actually, I mean, obviously it's something you'd want Steve Gallen and Beau to have a look at, Lewis, as you said. That would be the main concern for me. I mean, he's 31 years old as well. He's getting on a bit. But at the same time, if Beau does take like the look of him, then why not, Lewis?
Yeah, that's the thing, isn't it? Ultimately, as long as Lee Bowyer and Steve Gallen are getting the final say on whether he comes in or he doesn't, which I'm sure would be the case with Thomas, I don't see it as a negative, because if they see something in him, then, you know, their track record with players is fantastic. I just hope it's not another one of these sort of favour things that we, like with Roland, when we had all the players come over from Standard when he first came in that were nowhere near good enough, and obviously other network clubs as well. I understand that the ownership under Thomas is completely different. So it'd be one of those where he'd have to come in and prove us wrong. But ultimately, it seems as if Thomas is as well and truly behind, you know, Bo and Steve Gallen being behind all in charge of all footballing decisions. We were linked with him before, so maybe, you know, even before Thomas came in, I think. So you never know. Maybe it is someone that has been identified as well by Steve Gallen. So we'll see. If it goes over the line, then I'm sure we'll hear more about it. It'd be nice to hear what Bo thinks about it, but I don't think he said anything about it yet.
Whoops, pressed the wrong button there. He hasn't given any comments on it yet. I mean, Nathan, I'm just looking at Ronnie's Wikipedia page. It doesn't mention anything about his banjo playing abilities, but I mean, is that the sort of player that you'd like? I mean, would you like someone who's got more experience on the woodwind section?
I think so. I think, I know he's got good at set pieces, good at free kicks. I think he comes across as, I'd like to think, something like a Maverick. But again, I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know the Danish league inside out. But I think if you're playing at your Danish Premier League isn't your same level as the English Premier League, but you're probably looking at Championship League One, aren't you? And I think if you've got a good pedigree in there, he's got experience playing in European competitions, I think it's worth a go. I think, what other striker are you going to get? You're not going to get a Johnson Clark Harris. You're not getting an Ivan Toney. So I think we've got to be a little bit cuter, really, in terms of recruitment. And I think if you look at the previous types of players that Steve and Lee has brought in, I don't think those two are just going to sit there and accept, Swartzy if they really think he isn't going to contribute to the team. So I do think we do need another forward. I don't know. I mean, Omar's doing okay. Chucks is, again, his injury problems. If he does need a rest, we can't just rely on Omar. We haven't really got anyone else there. And I think that probably another pacey winger, I think we're lacking. So I think he'll be a good bit of business, as long as he's not going to break the bank, which I don't think he can anyway. And we can see how it goes. I don't think there's any harm in it at all.
Excellent stuff. Well, Lee Bowyer was asked about the January transfer window coming up during press day by Terry. Tell asked him if any club that does good business in January could give themselves the edge for the rest of the season.
Yeah, but I think it's going to be tough. It's going to be tough for any side to do any business. This cap, love it or hate it, it's making everything a lot more difficult for people to bring in players and change things around. We're no different to everybody else. We've got a tiny bit of money left over. We're still under the cap by a little bit, so we might be able to move a little bit. But unless you're way under the cap and you've got money, then it's going to be tough. And because there's no fans or anything, then all clubs are going to be finding it difficult financially. So there's a lot of barriers, if you like, to be able to do business in our division and below. Championship, obviously, and the Premiership are completely different. But for us, it's going to be tough to do any business. So,
And you touched on it a little bit earlier, but obviously now just a couple of weeks till January, the owner was here over the last week. Are there sort of specific positions or players that you're looking at? Obviously, it's going to be a hard window, but are there specific players or positions you're looking at?
No, I think that the most important thing in any window, if you are able to make signings and bring people in, they have to make you better. There's no point just making signings for the sake of making signings, you know. No point wasting money if there is someone out there that can make you stronger in any position. Then that's something that we'd look to do, because we always want to try and improve the team and improve the squad. So we're no different to anybody else. Everybody else will be thinking the same. So if there is any way of doing any business, it has to be right and it has to make us stronger.
Yeah, perfect. And lastly, obviously, a lot of loan players have been performing well. George Lapsley, Josh Davison, to name a couple. Any chance that we could see them coming back, or are you hoping that they stay on for the season?
I would like for them to stay on. The whole point of it, if George was here at the moment, he wouldn't really be playing. So George, for his development, to go out there into the big world, the big wide world, if you like, and keep playing games and learning the game. He's got a good manager there in Nigel. So yeah, the most important thing for George and all our loanees is go and play games and do well. So I'm really pleased for them.
There we go, Lee Bowyer talking about the transfer window. Obviously, talks about Lee George Lapsey as well, which we'll come on to in a few seconds' time. Obviously, you have to work within the wage cap, Lewis. So the wheeling and dealing that needs to be done, it will be difficult. It probably, you hope, will mean that there'll be a lot of clubs in League One that, you know, they won't all be able to go and flex their financial muscle. Not that there is a lot of it in League One at the moment anyway. So it's going to make it a very interesting, almost game of chess in January, with people really being careful with what they've got and seeing if it is possible to improve their squad for the running.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, it's the first, like you say, it's the first window where everyone's going to be on an even playing field, because in the summer, you think our takeover came through late. We already had those financial fair play wage cap, in place, didn't we? We already had it there, where a lot of clubs were able to do their business early on, especially with the curtailment of the season. So, it's going to be interesting to see how it works. And also with the bailout, if that's happening, you know, with the clubs, if they take up on this grant, what they're allowed to spend. I'm assuming that we probably won't take up the grant because we're lucky enough to have Thomas, but some of these clubs may have to. You know, I've seen Darren McAntony talking about financial struggles, you know, with, again, with further suspending of fans and stuff at Peterborough. So they're a club that are up there with us. So whether they take anything out of the pot, and that limits what they can do in January to strengthen. I mean, they've already got a fairly decent side, so be interesting to see what they did do. But for the likes of us, I mean, our squad is not overly light, isn't it? I mean, when you look at the signings we made in the summer, especially under the wage cap, it was all really good business. I mean, if we are having Ronnie Schwartz come in, it'd be interesting to see what that does to the money and the cap as well, and what we're allowed to pay him, and how much that uses of what we've got left in the pot. If maybe any of the youngsters might head out on loan, you know, to Vennings and people like that. And also, if we want to get any further cover anywhere else, I mean, goalkeeper, we've got Ash, haven't we? If Amos gets injured, and he's been very highly rated. Defensively, if you take away the injuries we've had to Reinonis and to Akinfanwo, we've got good cover there with Dejosh Alaja and Piercy, Matthews and Gunter right back, and then Perrington and Mattson left back. So all over the pitch, we've got quite a lot of depth, which is good. So I think, as you say, we do have to sort of spend smart with what we've got left in the cap. And it would be interesting to see how much of that cap's taken up if Ronnie Schwartz is coming in, because I mean, I don't know what sort of salaries you earn in Danish football compared to League One, but how much of the allowance is taken up if Ronnie Schwartz comes in would be interesting to see.
Yeah, certainly would be. Now, something else that was mentioned there by Lee Bowyer is, of course, the loanees that are out and about, and in particular, George Lapsley out at Mansfield Town. You know, obviously he's played a lot of games for us in league football. You know, he's made 16 starts and 24 appearances off the bench in that. That's in the Championship and League One, of course. But a lot of those did come in the Championship. But he has gone back out to get a bit more experiences out of Mansfield. Didn't start too well for him because obviously he got sent off in his first game, but since then it sounds like he's really lighting the place up. He's got 4 goals in his games for Mansfield. He's playing a hell of a lot of games. He's getting everything he needs out there. When he gets all these goals, you see one or two people asking if we ought to think about recalling him, Nave. But you know, 23 years old, he's out there getting week to week league football. It's probably best for his development that he stays out there, gets a few more, and then hopefully comes back next season a player ready for us to chuck into, you know, hopefully Championship, but if not League One football.
Well, exactly. I think that, I mean, when you loan a player out, the reason that you do it is not only for them to, you know, develop as a player, but for them to see, to get the highs and the lows. He's good in form. You know, he got a disappointment, obviously, very early on in his Mansfield spell. But he's going to get that. And I think he needs I don't think anyone can doubt the work rate and, you know, the enthusiasm Georgie brings. But I think for me, there were times, especially in the middle of the park, he needs to be a little bit more physical. And I think at that level, he's going to learn. He's playing against men, you know, and he's playing week in, week out, not just coming off the bench or playing the odd game for us. He needs that development so he can push on, whether that's with us or with another club. But yeah, I mean, that's the reason why you get sent out, is that you enjoy the good times, but then there's going to be lows for him. And just because he's playing well, I think you should only call him back if he's going to play. Because if Bose calls him back because he's playing well, and then he's just sitting on the bench for the next few months, there's not much point, is there, really? Unless we obviously were really short in the middle of the park and he's going to play every week, there's no point bringing him back for me. So it's good to see him that he's doing well. Let him continue developing. Is that what I think?
Yeah, I'm delighted that he's hit the ground running so well up there and got a few goals and scored the winner, didn't he, away at Sunderland in the FA Cup. So a massive goal for him there. So I'm really pleased that George is getting his experience in there. Right, let's start to turn our attention to Saturday. Starting off with this email from Phil Hall, looking ahead of the Swindon game. Says, hi guys, looking forward to Saturday's game. I feel that with another week of training and no midweek game, the understanding between the players will have improved even more. Last week, Jake Forster, Kasky and Marcus Madison linked well together at times, and I don't think I've ever seen a player with such quick feet as Madison. I believe the squad will be much the same for Swindon, but it's good to see that Paul Smith has had his stitches out and will be back soon in the mix. Good addition to the medical team, getting Danny Murphy back, as the players benefited from his presence at the end of last season, and maybe our recovery times will improve with his involvement. With the strength of the squad we have and the promise of strengthening further in January, we should definitely be in there with a strong chance for automatic promotion. Thomas Sandgaard has worked wonders in the 2 months he's been our owner. A few songs that come to mind for a Charlton album, Ain't No Stopping Us Now, Things Can Only Get Better, The Only Way Is Up. Well, I'm pretty sure that Thomas would be happy to play those on his guitar anyway. That's regards, that's from Mr. Phil 19. Keep up the good work, he says. Cheers, Phil. Thanks for getting involved on this evening's show. Charlton Exile as well said that the results went our way in midweek, and at that point against Shrewsbury is looking even better after their results recently. Irritating that we couldn't play on Tuesday as we could have gone second, but there's still plenty to be upbeat about, certainly is. Right, let's have another quick break. When we come back, we're going to really start to turn our attention to Saturday, our game with Swindon Town.
He swings it towards the far post. Innes jumps, heads down. Bogle touchdown. Bradley! Hey! Smacks it in! And Charlton take the lead. That's a really well-worked corner. Innes with the head down. Bogle touches it. And Darren Bradley, the substitute, just smacks it into the roof of the net. Just say to Rob, leave them behind. A little boy still on who said I hate people like you. I got matchsticks and cable TV. Charlton Live.
Right, welcome back to Charlton Live. This is the big match preview now. Saturday's game, Saturday, is of course with Swindon Town over at the County Ground. Second time we would have played there this season after the opening was the game against them in the Capital One Cup was our second game of the season, wasn't it, in the League Cup, where we won by 3-1. Obviously, Macaulay Bonn, Charlie Barker and Chooks and EK were on the score sheet for the Addicts. Thomas Sandgaard was in attendance that day, but he wasn't officially the owner. That was still when he was trying to buy the club. I think that was the first time he actually saw us win a game of football, so I'm sure he enjoyed that one. Now, I wanted to find out a little bit more about Swindon Town. Obviously promoted from League 2 last season. They haven't had the best of times this year, if we're being brutally honest, and they've lost each of the last four games. They sit inside the relegation zone on 22nd on 16 points, so not a great start to the season for them. I wanted to find out a little bit more about the Robins, so I spoke to Ben Wills, a freelance journalist who covers Swindon Town, and asked him how the start of the season has gone so far.
Yeah, it's also been quite a struggle, I think. Definitely not as enjoyable as many would have expected. I think League Two promotion, even though it was curtailed by the pandemic, it was a very enjoyable season last year for obvious reasons. And this year it's been kind of a a bump back down to earth with the likes of Richie Wellens being paced by Salford and John Sheridan coming in and not quite delivering what he needs to at the moment, despite the derby wins over Oxford and Bristol Rovers.
Yeah, I'm guessing that the fans were probably quite disappointed when Richie Wellens decided to move on. How have they received John Sheridan so far?
Not particularly well. I have to confess, I think Richie Wellens brought such an exciting and dynamic style of football that really got a lot of fans that have been sort of on the way with really back on side, and John Sheridan is more defensive, to put it that way, and more trying to be solid and not quite working. So definitely a big contrast in, you know, the exciting style of football from Richie Wellens, and John Sheridan has a bit more cautious in his approach.
Yeah, and we can see, I mean, the recent form hasn't been good. Four straight defeats in League One since that derby win over Oxford. What would you put the recent downturn down to? I guess you could argue it's been going on all season with the odd win littered here and there.
Yeah, I think in fairness to Sheridan, the squad is littered of injuries, and there is a lot of players that are struggling for fitness. I think we've only got two centre midfielders currently, so Anthony Grant and Matt Smith have pretty much played every game, together with Jack Payne doing the odd sort of standing role in centre mid when he's actually a 10. So the squad is definitely light on numbers, and every week there seems to be a question on which players are going to be back, and as soon as one returns, another two go down, sort of thing. So it's definitely been hard in that regard, but I still think Sheridan could probably do a little better than what he has done with the tools he has got, but there's no doubting that he's definitely been hampered with the fitness or lack of fitness in the squad so far.
Yeah, I mean, obviously following promotion in the summer, what would have been the expectations for this campaign? Was it just about survival, or did Swindon fans have higher hopes than that?
I think League One's a funny league, and that obviously there are, you know, your undoubted front runner, the likes of Sunderland and Portsmouth and Peterborough and teams like that, but I think there's always the surprise packages that can challenge the likes of Fleetwood and obviously Wickham last year. So I think some might have been a little bit ambitious for promotion. I think I could have, you know, pre-season expected maybe the playoffs when Richie Wellens was in charge, but since he's left and since you know, the reality of the pandemic have really hit, I think and since Sheridan's arrival as well, I think the expectation now really is surviving in League One, being a League One club next season, and also because of the pandemic being a club next season, given that we could see a couple of clubs go to the wall if, you know, certain help isn't being provided by the EFL and another organisation. So yeah, I think now expectations have really been tampered, just about finishing 20th and above and being a club next season.
I mean, how are Swindon faring in that regard in terms to finances and that? I'm trying to think if they're, I think their chairman is like a former Charlton player. Is that still that Lee? Is it Power or something like that?
It is Lee Power, yeah. I think Swindon are doing okay, but I think it's quite hard to determine, given that he doesn't really release his full statements. There hasn't been any real threat of administration during his time here, and Swindon have had a lot of threats of that sort of thing in terms of being demoted back in the 90s. So Swindon are well aware of the phrase of administration. There's always that lingering panic, given the club has always been through it quite a lot of times in its recent history. But there's been no threat that we know of really under Power, but there's an upcoming court case in a couple of weeks, which will definitely cause a few nervous reactions and headlines, I guess. But apart from that, I think the club are just about doing okay.
Yeah, I mean, whenever you put the words owner and Charlton in the same sentence, there's always trouble that follows. Although I think it was slightly grandiose when I described him as a former Charlton player, because I just looked it up. He played 5 games for us on loan. But I knew there was a link there somewhere. So looking ahead to the game on Saturday, am I right in thinking there's still going to be fans? Is Swindon still in Tier 2?
Yeah, I think the tier update is going to be released over tomorrow on a few days' time. But Swindon are in Tier 2 at the time of the time of recording, and we had our first game with fans last week in a defeat against Fleetwood, which saw 2,000 people at the Cannon Ground, which is much welcome. So yeah, unless there's a tier update and something gets upgraded between now and Saturday, then yeah, there should be 2,000 fans in attendance on Saturday.
Hopefully that'll be the case, because it's so much better, isn't it, with the supporters now, of course. And looking ahead to the game itself, who are the danger men in the Swindon Town side that the Charlton fans and players should be very wary of?
Whoever's fit is generally the answer to that question this season. But I think if I was gonna put on anyone, I think Matt Smith in centre midfield is always someone who can create something out of nothing. And he's already got an early claim to fame that he is part of the Arsenal FA Cup winning squad that beat Chelsea earlier on in the year. So he's got an FA Cup winning medal under his belt and an FA Cup winner at Swindon. He's always a useful player and can cause problems. And Tyler Smith, the club's top goal scorer of 7, is doing quite well up front online from Sheffield United as well. So there's two promising low knees which could cause Chelsea problems the weekend.
Thanks very much to Ben, who is all over everything Swindon, as you could hear there. It's not been the greatest of starts of the season for him, Lewis. And, you know, I just wonder how much that game in the League Cup that we played against them earlier on this season will you know, have a bearing on this one. It'll give us the confidence, certainly, to go into it. As will, of course, the fact that we weren't coming off the back of a good result as well on Saturday.
Yeah, definitely. And just listening to you then talking about the goal scorers on that day, it feels like ages ago, doesn't it? Like Charlie Barker and Macaulay Bonn and everything. It's just it's mad how much has changed between that game and now. The positive result Saturday would obviously set us in good stead. Swindon haven't had a great year. Obviously lost Richie Wellens, didn't they, earlier on in the season? He went to move over to Salford to take over at Salford after they lost Graham Alexander. So they obviously got promoted with Richie Wellens last year. So to lose your promotion winning manager so early on into a season, it's probably knocked them a little bit. I think we're going to be going into this fairly confident, especially, as you say, given the result from the cup game when we played them before and the squad that we had at that time. And when you look at the squad we have now, obviously we've only got stronger. So yeah, it's going to be interesting to see how we play. It's away from home as well. Can't remember if Swindon are in tier 2 still or if they've been moved to tier 3 off the top of my head. So I don't know if they're going to have fans
still
or
not. Still in tier 2 after today. So
they're going to have some supporters in. So how we cope with that will be interesting, because obviously we had the supporters at Shrewsbury and we didn't really turn up that day anyway. But whether that played a part in that, I don't know. But looking at Swindon's season so far, it's not been great. But then when you look at how we performed against the likes of Burton and Shrewsbury this season, we haven't been great either. So we need to make sure that we don't, you know, get too complacent, get too confident and go into those games thinking that they're already won and then churning out a performance like we did at Shrewsbury a few weeks back and at Burton as well. So, yeah, obviously the table represent something, but at the same time for us it doesn't always, because there's a shock result in the division every now and then, and we spoke earlier about how tight it is. So we want to keep our guard up and make sure that we go there and treat it as any other game and make sure we try and come away with 3 points.
Nathan, obviously with Richie Wellens leaving and John Sheridan coming in, I mean, Ben was telling us there that's quite a change in philosophies if nothing else. That must be quite hard to take for a side that's obviously been on the up and got promotion and got all that momentum that goes with it, and all of a sudden to have their manager, who they're fond of, taken away from them and replaced with someone who's a bit longer in the tooth and probably a bit more set in his ways, and obviously Ben wasn't too impressed by his style of football. That's obviously knocked them for six a little bit, because results certainly haven't picked up.
Yeah, I mean, no disrespect to John Sheridan, but I just see him as the lower league of Sam Allardyce.
Lower league. Right.
Well, I've already done Poulos before, and I so I'll leave Poulos alone.
That was a bit different, to be fair.
Yeah, I think for me, John Sheridan is just like the lower league Sam Allardyce. He's been around, and I think I agree with Ben. I mean, Richie Welling was a progressive manager, had an identity, whereas I think John Sheridan is more regressive, and I think it's more in the sort of mould of, we've had a bit of a bad start, so let's see if we can get some experience, some discipline, and try to get him to help us stay up. I mean, in terms of discipline, I mean, the last thing he'd done at Wigan, John Sheridan, was literally throw that young kid under the bus, wouldn't it? But when they went in that FA Cup game. But I mean, I can understand why he's not very, you know, not very impressed with the appointment, but I would imagine the Swindon board are just like, let's try and see if we can get some old school sort of, you know, was it Sergeant Major or something like that with the old wrestler, or whoever, is get some discipline into the lads and getting them to stay up. But not had a great start, but we've spoke about it earlier. I mean, MK Dons were apparently woeful, and then they done a job on us, didn't they? So it's going to be tight, but we just got to make sure that our players turn up and we have more of the second half and not the first half, where we sort of lost our way a little bit.
Right, let's have a listen to it from a Charlton point of view as well. Now, Lee Bayer asked to preview the game. Starts off with a bit of team news. Is Andrew Shinney going to be back in the mix for Saturday?
Shinney, not yet. No, he's not ready yet. So from the last squad, there's not going to be any changes. We ain't got anybody else coming back. So yeah, but Albie, I think he's back in with us Monday. So he misses out this weekend as well. So, okay. So yeah, nothing's changed from the last weekend squad.
And it's another match against a team near the bottom. I think they've lost the last four in the spin league-wise. But they do score goals. They do concede goals as well. But so I'm guessing the focus will be on the on our strong being strong defensively. But as we mentioned earlier on, crazy games. You can't take you can't take your foot off the gas. You've got to be fully on it.
Yeah. What I would say is I watched them. They won them played Oxford. They beat Oxford away, which is not easy. We know Oxford's a good side. And all the other games they've been in them. They've been in all the other games that they've lost. I've watched them in four different games and they change formation regular. So it's tough to not prepare, but we can concentrate on what we're going to do, but then it's difficult to get the information before the game because they could play A, B, C, D, like they played four different formations from what I've watched. So yeah, it's something that the most important thing is that we turn up on the day and we do things right and start right. If we do that, then hopefully we can get the result we all want. So it's more on us. We've got to focus on us.
There we go. That's Lee Bowyer. So no Andrew Shinney, unfortunately. But yeah, exciting times looking ahead to this game, purely because we're coming off the back of such a good result, I think. You know, everyone was eager to play that game on Tuesday that unfortunately never happened because they wanted to see if we could reproduce that second period. You know, as Nathan said just before we heard from Bo there, if we could start off on the same foot. So it's going to be interesting the way that Bo decides to go with the team, won't it, on Saturday, Lewis? And it starts off with the question that I think I end up asking every big match preview now, team news-wise. Are we going to go with Bogle or are we going to go with Chucks and Ike, Lewis?
I think he'll go with Bogle. I think purely because Anike has been so effective coming off the bench, and we saw that again last Saturday. I think Bogle can do the sort of, you know, the hold up play and the strength play, keep hold of the ball and try and bring maybe Connor Washington into play as the main attacking threat. And then as the game wears on and Swindon defenders tire, you bring on Chucks and Anike. And if you're a defender in League One and you're bringing on a fresh Chucks and Anike after 60 minutes, I mean, you're petrified, aren't you? Because I mean, his performances have been absolutely outstanding, like consistently every time he's come on. So I wouldn't be surprised to see Chucks play that role again. I mean, it's a real shame he can't play from the start because he makes such a difference. But I think it's game management with him, as Bo has said many times. And I think if you're looking at it as it is now, I think you probably would, for safety, just keep him on the bench and bring him on after the hour mark as a bit of an impact player. But again, it depends how the games go. You know, Omar might have the game of his life on Saturday. He might score a hat-trick. You know, we don't want to write him off straight away. But yeah, Chucks has really impressed me, but I wouldn't be surprised if we just saw him come off the bench, you know, midway into the second half to make that impact that he has done, you know, time and time again this season.
And obviously defensively is an area where we've had our injuries recently, but you know, Akinfenwo now out again for a long time, which is the same, was it 14 weeks, I think I heard, which is a similar amount of time that Ryan Innes was going to be out for. Although obviously he's got a bit of a head start, so he's a few weeks ahead of that. But you know, it poses the question, you know, we've seen Pratt and we've seen Gunter both drop into that centre-back role. You know, obviously Piercy you'd expect to be filling one of those gaps, but does he bring Deji back in now? I think we've seen Deji for a few minutes at the end of the game against AFC Wimbledon, but other than that we haven't seen him. But obviously he's had a week in training to try and pick up some minutes. Which way do you think he'll be tempted to go with that one, Nath?
It's a good question. I think Deji will probably come in at some point. I just think what you're going to have to do, I mean, against obviously Swindon and Plymouth, I reckon Pratt might start the Swindon game. It wouldn't surprise me if Deji starts the Plymouth one. I think he does need to try and bed him in as much as, you know, Pratt has done a job there. I think there was times in the MK game when, you know, him and Gunter naturally were sort of leaving a lot of space through the middle where they were getting pulled out of position because they're not naturally central defenders. But I think they do need to bleed in Deji. In my opinion, I think Deji is, you know, the fourth best centre-back we've got, in my opinion. But like you say, Fanwo's out. you know, Innes is out. I think if we've got fit centre halves, I think we should play the centre halves and centre halves. I don't think there's much point putting square pegs in round holes for no reason, especially when Prattley can do a job and maybe lower the load on Ben Watson, because we've got two big games coming up with Hull and Peterborough, which are quite close together. I've got Boxing Day as well. So I don't want to overload Watson and Prattley, because I think if you go into any game without either of those two, I think you're lacking quite a bit of experience there. And so I'd like Deji to play on Saturday, but it wouldn't surprise me if Pratt comes in. But Deji should be started to be bedded in now, so we can have Prattley or Watson playing at that deeper sort of role over the Christmas period.
Excellent stuff. Right, let's get some predictions in then for the game this Saturday. Starting with you, Lewis, how do you think we get on over at the County Ground?
I'm going to go 3-0 Charlton.
Smashed it. I mean, we have our record at Swindon. We haven't actually played there that often in the league. Obviously, we won there 3-1 in the League Cup earlier, but the time before that that we played there in the league, I think, was the 3-0 loss that was Russell Slade's last game. Terrible stuff. Nathan, do you think we can go one step better than we did with Russell Slade in charge?
We talked about this the other day. Every time I see to be on comms, we seem to get a last minute sort of goal. So I'm going to say that we're going to get a last minute 2-1 win.
Oh, I forgot you're on comms this weekend. Blimey, the people at Swindon won't know what's hit them.
I've been bringing no. As long as there's no cows about, then it'd be all right, wouldn't it?
Yeah, I don't know. Yeah, just checking for banjos on the way in. Swindon security, excellent stuff. Right, we've run out of time on this week's big match preview. Thanks to all of you who've listened all the way to the end. Thanks to Nathan Lewis for tuning in.
Cheers, boys.
Cheers, mate.
Cheers, guys. Don't forget, we'll be back on Sunday as well with our last show before Christmas to look back at whatever happens against Swindon and hopefully some sort of Christmas fun and games if I can work out how to get that to work remotely. But until then, look forward to speaking to you on Sunday. I've been Louis Mendez and we shall see you again on the weekend.
Tired of ads barging into your favorite news podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay up to date on everything newsworthy by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/newsadfree. That's amazon.com/newsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.